Blessed or happy or to be spiritually envied are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed or happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before them. You know, as we start a new year, I was thinking, how do you start a new year? What's the best way to start a new year? And I think the words of Jesus are the best way to start. You know, the words out of Scripture, you take the words from what Jesus said so long ago when he opened his mouth and he taught us. And, you know, as we think of the happy new year and as we think of saying that to each other, you know, we start with the Scripture. You know, and I just wanted to read Scripture to start, you know, to begin. The first words that came out of the speakers this year are the words of Jesus, and it's so precious. So welcome, greetings to each one of you in Jesus' name, because his words are much more important than our words. And his thoughts are much more important than our thoughts, and his ways are much more important than our ways. So we're thankful for that. Let's, for our Old Testament reading, let's read out of the book of Psalms. Let's read out of Psalm 90 for our first reading. Psalm 90. I know we've read this psalm before, but it's such a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And it's a prayer of Moses. It's actually the oldest psalm in the Bible. In the collection of the Psalms, and probably not in your Bible, but maybe your Bible at home, it's called the Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. So that, you know, and that's part of the inspired word. So let's read Psalm 90 together. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye men, children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are as like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are all consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And it seems like at verse 11 it stops. And there's sort of a little bit of a transition. Just to get the context of this psalm, it's very likely a prayer of Moses looking back and saying, look what's happened these last 40 years in the wilderness. We've had funerals with the 600,000 men that were, and their wives and the children and so on. Those under 20 were to survive and to go into land. And Moses said, we spent our years as a tale that is told. And as we look back, it's just it's a kind of a dreadful time. A time of judgment. They had a funeral every 20 minutes. This is just is really remarkable. They had a funeral every 20 minutes, 24 hours a day, for 40 years. I mean, go figure. I mean, I read that. I didn't do the math. But I did read that one time. Can you imagine? And all the logistics of that or how it worked out, I'm not quite sure. But they had, and they looked back and that generation had finally died. Every one of them had died. And Moses looked at me and he said, like a tale that is told. And then he changes his prayer. In verse 12, he says, now, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord. The implication is, return, O Lord, and bless us. How long will you delay? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. And it's a cry of repentance. O satisfy us early with thy mercies, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Makes sense. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Then the last two verses, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty or the favor or the approval of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Just a beautiful psalm. Let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn 152, a children's prayer. Hymn number 152. Let's kneel and pray together. Father, we do count it a great privilege to come to Thee this morning in a new morning, and Lord, a day that Thou hast made, and we're thankful for this day. Lord, the first day of the new year and the first day of the week, and Father, we rejoice that we can be together around thy word, and even as we read the words of Jesus as we opened, Father, we're so thankful for Jesus and his teachings. Lord, and as we back up, we rewind a little bit, just we're thankful for the prophecies of Scripture that foretold the coming of our Savior, of Jesus, that he would be born of a virgin, he'd be born in Bethlehem, and he would be a wonderful Savior. His name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, we thank thee for the prophecies in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and in the prophets, and in Moses concerning Jesus. Then we see the fulfillment of that. And Jesus, we thank thee for just being willing to do thy Father's will, even to be born humbly and to live humbly and to teach humbly and yet powerfully. And Father, we know that thou didst speak the words of truth. And so we're so glad we could even start with the words of truth and how transforming those truths are. Just the blessed are the poor in spirit, Father, to recognize our spiritual poverty and to mourn over sin and to understand meekness and to just all thy words, Lord, and even to hunger and thirst after righteousness and to be pure in heart and to be peacemakers and to be thankful even when we are persecuted, Lord. What wonderful words of life, Jesus, we thank thee for that. And then the prayer of Moses, what a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And Father, it's so applicable today because we sometimes look back and we are sorry for things we've done in the past. We've repented for things in the past. And Lord, today's a new day, a day teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, even as Moses wrote, and satisfy us early in the morning, early in our life with thy tender mercies and Lord, thy compassion. And we ask for that. And let this new year, let thy work appear into thy servants. Father, grant understanding and of thy work this new year. And it is a privilege to even pray that and to thank thee and to pray together. And Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to be together, to pray and to sing and to read thy word. And Father, we're just real grateful for that. We thank thee for that. And Father, we do want to bless thee, and we want to just to honor thy holy name. And Father, we want to also recognize our need for thee, and we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us and direct us and teach us even in this day. We think of voting for church leadership, Lord. We commit that to thee and pray that thy will be done. So, Lord, we rest in thee and we'll wait patiently on thee for that. So, Lord, bless each one here today. We're thankful for this opportunity. And, Father, our prayer would be with the psalmist, that the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night." Father, give us a love for thy word. And, Lord, even the psalmist says, "Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from thy law." Lord, open our eyes that we can behold wondrous things from thy word. And Father, because it is a living, active book, and it's profitable for each one of us, and we thank thee for that. So bless our time together, Lord, now, and we do want to thank thee for thy faithfulness in the past year. We know there have been difficulties and heartaches, and yet we thank thee for thy sovereign will. There's been deaths and different events, and yet we know, the Lord, that thou art faithful, and we thank thee for that. So, Lord, now as we turn to the New Testament, even the book of James, as we've planned, James 5, we ask for thy guidance and thy direction as we share that together. Lord, may, again, may thy will be done, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we sang the pilgrim song, verse 3, Psalm 136. I mean, it's a psalm in a sense, a song in a sense. His word our soul doth nourish. It is so sweet and pure, gives faith and strength in conflict, all trials to endure. And that's really a good summary, in a sense, of what we're going to be reading. So let's, for our New Testament reading, let's go to the book of James. We've walked through James, and now we'll finish in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let's start reading at verse 1, and we'll read the chapter together. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. You know, I like to just read through Scripture and not do too much interjection, but sometimes if it helps illuminate the Word, I think it's appropriate to maybe share a little bit, just again, to get our minds thinking of the Word and get our minds thinking of what's going on here. It talks about ye rich men. It starts with the rich men. And as we read through this, look at what was the issues with these rich men. It tells us very clearly what the problem was with these rich men. And my thought is, as we read through this, do you think this was written for the rich men or for those who are suffering under the rich men? Could be either. Could be both. Because they were, you know, the rich men were not. They were not walking correctly. Their lifestyle is not right. These rich men, and they were those that were working for them were. There was problems. And so anyway, let's read that and keep that in mind. Is it the rich men that are the problem? And what are the problems with the rich men? And what are the problems with those that they were persecuting? Okay. So, ye rich men, weep and howl, as it says in verse 1. Your misery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last day. Behold, the hire of the labor who have reaped down your fields, these are the laborers, the hire of the laborers who have reached down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. It crieth. The cries of them which have reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye rich men, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Maybe we could just stop there, talk just a little bit about that. What did you notice in the text that these rich men were, what was the problem? Well, if you look in verse 4, and we talked a little bit about it, but just to notice this, the laborers who reaped in their field, they didn't get paid. Or maybe they didn't get paid what they were supposed to get paid. I remember growing up, I had two older and two younger brothers, but my younger brother and I had a job to do, and we were working for, I would say, a rich man. And we had some grunt labor to do for this rich man. And I asked him, I said, how much are you going to pay my brother? And he gave me a figure, and I thought, how can you do that? You know, here, I mean, he's got plenty of money, and here's my poor little brother working hard. You know, I wanted to come on. You know, let's up that wage a little bit. He's a good worker. He's worth it. And I just remember a little bit of that conflict. What do I do? You know, he's worth more than that per hour. You know, and so these rich men were, they weren't going from this. And I think a good summary, it's not from rags to riches. It's from riches to rags is what these guys, and they were living, they were living the high life. They were living in pleasure. Verse 5, you lived in pleasure on the earth. You've been wanton, and it's extreme pleasure. You've nourished your hearts. But they had no regard for these laborers. And I think, you know, part of that story then is continued, obviously, in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren. So, that story goes on. But, you know, you think about that. I think it's a message to both the rich, those that are rich, and also those that are suffering under the rule of the rich. I know my neighbor told me that of one company, he does not like this company. And he's told me different times. That's why I remembered it. But he says, you know, this company making millions and billions, and they just pay their laborers minimum. And does that seem right? I don't know. Excuse me. I don't think it lines up according to. I mean, it seems like it's a similar situation here in the scripture, and James is saying, don't do that. You know, James says that is not right to just be thinking of yourself, to heap up treasure for yourself. And you know what it reminds me of? What Jesus's brother says. What Jesus's brother. Yeah, well, no, this is Jesus' brother, half-brother. James is his half-brother. But what Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. And Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so I think that's the appeal here. But let's say that we're one of these workers that have been, verse 6 says, ye have condemned and killed the just. The implication there is, that you've ruined innocent men in your career. You know, as you've gone through your career, you've stepped on people. You had no regard for those people that are around you. And you just were self-seeking. You're only living for yourself. And James was pointing that out. Okay, so verse 7. Let's read 7 to 12. This is the first one is sort of talking about possessions. You know, in Ecclesiastes, there's a verse that I like. It says, he that loveth silver, because these men love silver. These rich men, they loved it. And that's what they wanted. They wanted to hoard it and collect it and build it and not think of others. But he that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver. You're not going to be satisfied with silver. And that's kind of the message here. And that was Solomon's thought. He that loveth silver is not going to be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance will not be satisfied with the abundance. So don't think that will satisfy. Verse 7. Let's read the next few verses together. It says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rains. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy. Happy. Blessed that endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, ye have seen the end of the Lord, and have seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Above all these things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. So it's sort of a section of patience in this middle part. And you know, as we look at this, it gives an example. It gives an example of the farmer that waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and as it says in verse 7, he with long patience waits until the early and the latter rain. You know, look at that example. And I've seen that over the years, just visiting Gridley and visiting the farm out with Dad at Dad and Mom Witzix, and you know, waiting for that rain. How much rain did we get to, you know, do we get enough rain? And you check the rain gauge and you just wait patiently. And you're thankful for when that rain comes. And you know, just be patient. You know, God'll produce fruit. You know, God is the one that judges, I think, is the message here. And again, if you highlight in your Bible, you highlight the word patient. You know, because it's listed several times in this passage. You know, just you know, and he's talking about the patience that we need. Verse 8. So look at the farmer. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, we do look for the coming of the Lord, don't we? I mean, it's become more and more real with the death of Dad Witzig and Dad Blair. And you know, Dad Witzig would wake up sometimes. He goes, "Have I died yet?" You know, he wanted to die. I mean, he wanted to go to be with Jesus. He wanted to go to heaven. It's, you know, it's, and you know, we look forward to that. And if you look forward to heaven, you know, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. They just do. I mean, you see somebody laying in the casket, what do you think of? You think of what they left behind. You know, you don't pull a U-Haul behind a hearse. You don't, well, the Egyptians used to. You know, they used to try to take things with them. You know, let's take grain, let's put grain in there. You know, let's put servants, you know, let's put different things that they can, you know, we don't need it. We're going to go to glory. And it doesn't matter if you have a lot of money, if you're one of the rich men, if you lived in pleasure and in wantonness, or if you're a servant, it really doesn't matter. It's all over. It's done. Finished. And I think that perspective helps. And you know, when my mom passed, and it's interesting to see the two moves that my dad made. One, out of the house. I mean, our house, you know, with all of the things that we accumulated over the years, that my mom and dad and my brothers, five of us, had accumulated all the junk, all the things, a barn full, a house full, all the junk. My dad said, "You know what? Give me a bed. All I want is a bed. I want a desk and I want a chair." That's all he wanted. I mean, you know, we work all our lives to accumulate this stuff. We need this. We, you know, we accumulate this stuff. Dad says, "That's all I need." And when he passed, you know what I got from him? I mean, he didn't have much. Didn't have much in the way of just things to pass on. He didn't want much. He didn't need much. You know, we look forward to coming, Lord. We don't need much. He had his tape recorder. I didn't take it because it didn't work real well. But he'd like to play tapes when he went to, before he went to bed. He put the Bible on. He'd turn that on right by his head. You know, he'd lay down. It was right at his head. Turn that tape on. He'd listen to the Bible. I love that. Isn't that great? He'd listen to the Bible. But his tape recorder didn't work very well. We had to put a Q-tip in the plug to make it work. And we taped it up and it worked. That's Dad, you know. You fix it and you make it work. Q-tip. Black tape works fine, but you can't get tapes, can't get those things, you can't buy those things anymore. But that's what he had. I didn't take that, but we took a couple fans. I gave one to Daniel, one to Seth. They like fans to sleep, but Dad didn't have much. A few, his clothes. So anyway, So if we look forward to coming, Lord, it helps our perspective in life. And James says you need perspective. You know, look for the coming of the Lord. Be anxious for the coming of the Lord. Looking for and hastening, Peter says, the coming of the Lord. And it'll help you through the, it'll help make you patient. Just like a farmer's patient, and just like looking forward to that next home. Just beyond the river. You know, we'll meet there in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. So let's do that. I think dad told mom, I'll meet you at the eastern gate. So why don't we gather at the eastern gate? You know, when we die, you know, when our life's over, let's all plan a meeting at the eastern gate. You know, we don't want the circle to be broken. You know, let's all meet at the eastern gate in heaven. Look forward to that. But in the meantime, we need to live. Verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Look to the prophets. I don't know which prophet you like for patience. Jeremiah. I mean, there are several examples. I think of Jeremiah. If you want to turn to Jeremiah 29. I mean, it really talks about the patience of the Lord. Verse 10. I mean, this is after captivity. I mean, talking about patience, you're carried away into captivity in Babylon. And in Psalm 137 talks about weeping in Babylon. You know, you lay down your harps. You can't even sing. You're so sad. Your nation's been destroyed. You've been carried away. Now, what about the patience? And you know this verse, but let's go to 10 first before we go to 11. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years shall be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you. Just be patient and perform good works toward, I'll perform good works toward you and cause you to return to this place. I know the thoughts I think toward you, or I know the plans I have for you, either one, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall they call on me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I mean, look at the patience of Jeremiah. Look at the patience of Job. I mean, what a great example that Job was. Patient in suffering. I mean, we don't have time to turn to the story, but just think about that. You've seen the end of, you know, you heard of Job in verse 11. Look at Job. You count them happy. You count them blessed that endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. You have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful, full of pity and of tender mercy. You know, the Lord is very gracious. The Lord is very merciful. I looked up that word mercy. It's only used one other time in the New Testament, and it's that Greek word is used in Luke chapter 6, and I love that. You know, the Lord is very merciful, even to Job. In Job, God turned the captivity of Job and blessed it. What does it say in Luke 6? It's worth noting and worth remembering. Verse 35 and 36. The words used in merciful in 36, but you need to get 35. 6:35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, for your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest. He is kind. I love this. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God is still kind to them. And then he says, verse 36, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Isn't that a great? I mean, you know, think of your merciful God and be merciful. God is a God of tender mercy. And we need to be that way too, and just and be patient, waiting on the Lord. Okay, we started with the possessions. And what's the value of possessions? We go into patience and waiting on the Lord and looking for the Lord's return and understanding that God has these things under control, just like he did in Job's life. Okay, then verse 12. I'll just comment briefly about this. Verse 12. Kids in my class, you ask them, like, for example, I remember one time, I do not like them picking on their name tags. You know, just, you know, they pick those up and they can destroy them in about 20 minutes. So I give prizes for not picking on their name tag. Those poor little kids are really sad that they don't get a little prize. Hey, don't pick on your name tag. If I got to fix it, it's going to take my time. I'm not, you know, no, don't do it. So, and don't let your neighbor pick on it. Yeah, the person sitting right beside you, they can't pick on it either. Because if they do, you got to tell me. Because you're responsible for that name tag. So, go around checking. Mr. Blair, I promise, I swear I didn't pick on that. I said, listen, you don't have to swear. Just tell the truth. I promise. I didn't. No, you don't even have to promise. Just let your yay be yay and your nay nay. And that's a little summary of verse 12. You don't have to promise. You don't have to say, you know, and you know, have you had people say, you know, I promise I'll do this. I promise. No, you don't need to promise. Just do it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't need to go any further than that. That's it. And of course, Jesus said the same thing. And I think James and Jesus had a connection there. It's fascinating. Okay, let's finish the chapter here. And if you highlight a verse from 13, if you highlight a word from 13 to 20, you'll get the gist of this. So let's read through it and mentally highlight the word that keeps coming back. Okay, it's a great way to finish the book. You know, James has been so practical. Actually, we'll go backwards then in just a minute. Okay, let's get through this. We're going to go back to chapter 4, back to chapter 3, 2, 1, blast off. I mean, Happy New Year. I don't know what. But we're going to go backwards on this. Because, I mean, it's so rich. And it's life-changing. I guarantee it's life-changing. This word is life-changing. I would love James. would love to rub shoulders with James. And you know what? And James was a peacemaker too. You know, remember Acts 15? The church was kind of in turmoil. What are we going to do? How are we going to work together with the circumcision, the uncircumcision, the legalist, the illegalist? But you know, how are we going to blend this all together? James says, "Why don't you do three things?" And the church was happy. And James was a peacemaker. I like this guy. Okay, let's look now. What's a way to finish a book? And I've read that this is I don't know if this is true. You know, we could do surveys, but this is a neglected part of many churches today. Verse 13 to the end. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject unto like passions like as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And then there is a little transition here. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's go back to 13 to 18. You know, it's talking about prayer. Well, and it's also talking about praise. In verse 13, any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So those are two characteristics, even in prayer, of not only praying for someone else, but also praising. What is the best thing you? What is the probably one of the best things you can do? Even for someone in church, what's one of the best things you can do for them, according to this passage? Pray. Pray. But you know, it takes a little effort. And we forget. Sometimes I put little post-it notes in my planner and I list people I need to pray for. And I go to my planner and I pray for these people. They're sort of immediate needs. And then sometimes you can forget it. It's not too long, you forget it. You quit praying. But James is just encouraging us to pray. Maybe just briefly going through this, and again, we're not going to be able to do this passage justice, maybe hit the high spots. It talks about, is any sick among you in verse 14? That can be taken different ways. It can be taken physically, can be taken emotionally or spiritually sick. And that's, look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. I think there's a blessing in doing that, to having somebody that come beside you and pray for you and pray with you. It's such a joy to do that and to pray. I know at Leah, when they had the dinner after the funeral for my dad, Bonnie Rimchisel was in charge, and so we prayed for Bonnie, just because they had college weekend and there was a lot of things going on, and we said, man, we need to pray for Bonnie because it's going to be a crazy time. And so we talked to Bonnie. We said, Bonnie, we've been praying for you. She says, you have? She says, I can tell it. She says, the last funeral, I was so uptight. And for some reason, this funeral, I've just been so relaxed. Thank the Lord. Have you ever done that? Prayed for somebody? But then ask them, how is it going? Get it. You got to learn the need. You got to then pray for them. And then you got to check with them. But I think that's kind of the context of this. Pray. I know one brother said one of his goals was to establish a daily prayer list. We've talked about this, haven't we? I don't know if that would be a goal for you this year. Establish a daily prayer list for Monday. What are you going to pray on Monday? What are you going to pray on Tuesday? What are you going to pray on Wednesday? When are you going to pray on Thursday? When are you going to pray on Friday? What are you going to pray on Saturday? What are you going to pray on Sunday? And I've said this before. But I cannot pray every day. I could, I guess, if I quit my job. I don't think I can pray think about it. You pray for our church, everybody in our church, young to old. And then you pray for the elders of our church. Then you pray for church, the people you know in Laddie, the people you know in Gridley, the people you know in Francisville. You start praying for them. And then you Bloomington, the people people in Bloomington, don't you? People in Morton, you pray for them. You know some people in Morton. This is all in the same day. And then you pray for people you work with. Start praying for people you work with. Then you pray for people, just the world, the president, the vice president, the governor, the lieutenant governor, your state representative, your U.S. representative, your state senator, your U.S. senator. You pray for them. You lift them up in the Lord. How much time has this taken already? 6 hours probably. By now, I don't know, maybe 4 hours. You pray for your own personal needs. You pray for your family. I'm worn out. So what this brother's goal was to break that down. Maybe Monday. What do you pray for Monday? Maybe your family. What do you pray for on Tuesday? Missionaries. Those that, and Harvest Call. And the medical mission. What a great opportunity. You pray for Haiti. You pray for Ixlan. You pray for Magdalena. You pray for Jamaica. You can't do it. You got to break it down a little bit. That maybe the next day, maybe on Wednesday, you can pray for church friends that don't live in Indianapolis. Maybe on Thursday, you pray for the lost and the government and neighbors and outreach opportunities. Maybe on Friday, then you pray for your extended family. Then on Saturday, it's a potluck. And then on Sunday, you pray for our church. You know, break it down. Anyway, but pray. The point is pray. We have to pray. We have to set time to pray. Just like Elias. He was just like us. Elias could pray. And pray for miracles. I'm thinking, what am I praying for that only God could do? Stop the rain for 3 years. I mean, he's no different than you and I. And I'm not going to pray that. But he did. It was in God's will. I mean, let's pray for something special. And then share those requests. Anyway, let's finish up the chapter here. Wow. Brethren, and this could be somebody that errs from the truth, somebody that has strayed from the truth. It could be, you know, I've read both. It could be somebody in church that is converted, that strays from the truth. It could be somebody that's never come to Jesus, never repented, that is straying from the truth. What is the point? The point is, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save his soul from death and from destruction and hide a multitude of sin. Let's restore, brothers. Let's restore those that don't know Jesus. When we went to the prison, a lady come up to me afterwards and said, how do I, my daughter used to be all so on fire for the Lord and now she's walking away and what should I do? What advice do you have? And I think this is a good verse to keep in mind. Let's 2 Timothy. Just keep it. I'll read it, but if you want to turn to it, you can. 2 Timothy 2:24. Listen to this. 24 and 25. This is advice I gave her. I said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. You know, sometimes you want to just slap him in the face. Is that right? Can I say that? You just want to go, wake up. You know, stop it. Don't do that. You know, you kind of want to do that, don't you? Come on. You go, come on, don't. Stop it. You can't do that. That's wrong. No, I mean, it's how you feel inside, don't you? You just want to take somebody because you know what they're doing is not right. And it's going to hurt them. Okay. But look what Timothy, and I love this advice, and I told this lady, this prisoner, maybe this is advice for her. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth. And I just love that advice. You know, gently teach and gently, if God peradventure will bring them repentance. That's good advice from Paul. Okay, let's go backwards. Five's done. What do you remember in five? The prosperity, the rich, the servant. You know, there is, you need to be paid. We need to be patient in the suffering. And don't swear. You don't need, you know, let your yea be yea and your nay nay. Pray. Pray for one another. And then try to restore those that have erred. You know, look for ways to do that. Let's back up real quick. I just feel like we have to do this because we don't have time for a summary. What are some key verses in chapter 4? There's some beautiful verses. Let's just read them quickly. We're not going to comment on them because we don't have time. And we're not going to hit all the favorite verses. Verse 6, 4, 6 through 8. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And it goes on. The lesson of humility is so important. How about 4:17? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What about verse 13, chapter 4? Go to now, ye say, today or tomorrow, we will do such a thing We'll go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord will, Lord willing, we'll go. Lord willing, we'll be there. Lord willing, we'll do that. Let's go to chapter 3. Wow. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. What a truth. You know, just, you want to show me a perfect man. Show me somebody that's really mature. Who do you think is mature? I said I wasn't going to comment. Wow. Okay. A perfect man is one day able to bridle the body. I mean, that's such a challenge. Look at verse 16 of chapter 3. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But, then verse 17, that wisdom is from above is first pure. I love this. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. 4, 3, 2. How can you pick a verse? You know, let's just pick 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2. My brethren, have not faith in of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Don't do that. Don't pick people. Don't be, respectful of people. Verse 8. Again, these should be highlighted. I like to highlight verses in my Bible. Then when I go back to James, and maybe I start reading James, like, oh, yes, I remember that. Oh, yes, that is very good. Oh, yeah, keep that thought in mind. And memorize those as the Lord directs. Verse 8, and if ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Yeah, ye do well. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Oh, that's a great challenge. 4, 3, 2, 1. Could read the whole chapter. My brethren, count it all joy, verse 2, when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and we do, let him ask of God, dear God, give me wisdom. Teach me to number my days, and may apply my heart in wisdom, that given to all men liberally, he braideth not, and it'll be given him. Do I have to stop? I know time's running out here. Verse 19, a couple more. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's a teacher's prayer. Maybe a dad's prayer too. Maybe a sister's prayer too. Maybe a mother's prayer too. Maybe an uncle's prayer too. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 22, be doers of the word. Do it. Not just hearers, deceiving your own self. You know that passage. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in his affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. And that James is a wonderful book. Now, I'm going to finish with the New Year's poem. Gail, do you mind if I quote you? Good, good. Thank you. I should have asked you first, but I didn't think you'd mind anyway. This is what she wrote and sent out in a Christmas letter, 2006. You know, and this is sort of, so we've looked at James. We've gone to James 5. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, well, we started at Psalm 90, and I know they're ready to eat here, and you guys can't see it. I can see it, and I'm just getting nervous. We started at Psalm 90. That is a beautiful psalm. That is a beautiful psalm. Lord, teach us to number our days, you know, and forgive us for this, and come return and bless us. And then we did James 5. I mean, such a practical exhortation. And then 4, so many good verses, 4 and 3 and 2 and 1. blast off, you know, away we go. But now this, and then this, we had to have some little bit of New Year's. And so this, I want to get a little New Year's, and I had this, it only takes a minute. It only takes a minute to give someone a hug. It only takes a minute to say how much they're loved. It only takes a minute to send a smile along. It only takes a minute to help someone belong. It only takes a minute to feed a hungry one. It only takes a minute to tell them of God's Son. It only takes a minute to do a selfless deed. It only takes a minute to plant a fruitful seed. It only takes a minute. Will you use it now? It only takes a minute, and Jesus has showed us how. Lord, bless this word.
Amen. Let's sing together.
Number 314 from the combined hymnal, number 314.
We'd ask a brother to pray, and please also include the lunch as it's set up cafeteria style.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and so thankful that on this New Year's Day that we can come into thy house and once again hear thy word brought forth so sincerely with a pure heart. And certainly we thank thee. We thank thee that we've had parents, we've had a church family that have loved us, have taught us of thy goodness, of thy ways, and most of all, they've taught us about Jesus. And certainly this is the reason that we can gather with hope and hope and life eternal because of him, because of his willingness to go to the cross, to give his life, to shed his blood, and then to be victorious. And we know, dear Jesus, that thou art coming again. And so we thank thee that we've been able to gather about thy word and to once again prepare our hearts for the days that lie ahead of us. We've been reminded how much we have to pray about. And certainly, we don't have the time, as we've heard, to pray about everything, but we know that thou art a God that does know all things and does care and provide for thy people everywhere. And certainly, we commit this dear church unto thee, and those that bring forth thy word, those that lead, those that teach, those that lead the song service. We pray for each one as they go in and out from day to day. May they continue to shine forth as thy people. So we thank thee. We praise thee for the food now. That's been prepared, the hands that have prepared it. Pray that thou would come and bless us as we gather about the tables. Help us to always be an encouragement one to another. We thank thee, we praise thee for all things. We pray through Jesus' name. Amen.